We start this morning with a brief order for confession and forgiveness. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your holy name. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our opening hymn is number 332.
Sounded for the trumpet.
Good morning, and welcome to worship this morning, and a happy 4th of July weekend to all of you. Please notice that there are a number of announcements in the bulletin this morning. A lot of those that we have been running over the last couple of months. Just to run through those very quickly, right now Sunday school for all ages is suspended, and just wait to hear more announcements when we open that up again. Saturday services are now open, and we meet in the fellowship hall at 5 p.m. on Saturday evenings for worship. Office hours are posted in the bulletin. We will continue to do the drive-through Holy Communion right after worship until about 10:30. We are continuing to broadcast our Sunday morning services at 100.1 a.m. and also through the internet, through our website at Shoutcast audio link. And our website is stpaulykt.org. Also on the website, you can find the bulletins and all of these announcements as well then too, if you can't catch these quite quick enough. There's worship bulletins in numerous places around here. You can also pick them up. We usually print those on Thursdays. You can pick them up after Thursday noon, and there are some outside of the entranceway to the fellowship hall. We're also offering e-giving. The information is there on our website or here in the bulletins. And face mask. Just need to say a few words once again about the safety here as we come together for worship. Most of you have probably heard that on Thursday, Governor Abbott gave a decree that everyone who is in public or in groups of 10 or more, it is now mandatory that you be wearing a face mask. However, there were a few exceptions that he did also include in that mandate. One is for churches, that he did not mandate face coverings for churches, but it is still a very good idea. It is still strongly recommended. He actually used the word, or the language of strongly recommended for in worship, simply because that's one of the ways that we slow down this disease, the spread of this disease. And if you can wear one at the grocery store or restaurant or in larger groups, I would hope that you could still wear one here. Another exception to that rule then too is for public speakers, those who are giving a speech, as long as you can do it safely, that you can do that as well without a face mask. And that's why you see me without one. Otherwise, my voice is muffled to be able to speak. So I would suggest this morning you do not sit below the pulpit. And let's see. All right. And we're also continuing to do the grocery pickup. If you need groceries picked up at this time, give Nick a call here at the church office. Okay. Are there other announcements? Anything else this morning? All right, then we continue with the greeting printed in your bulletin. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you. In peace, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
For this holy house, and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord.
Lord, have mercy.
Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord.
Amen.
This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia.
Worthy is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, whose blood set us free to be people of God. Power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and blessing and glory are His. This is the feast of victory for our God. Alleluia. Sing with all the people of God and join in the hymn of all creation. Blessing and honor and glory and might be to God and the Lamb forever. Amen. This is the feast of victory for our God, for the Lamb who was slain has begun in His reign.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together the prayer of the day. God of glory and love, peace comes from you alone. Send to us as peacemakers and witnesses to your kingdom, and fill our hearts with joy in your promises of salvation. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
First lesson this morning is a reading from Zechariah, chapter 9, verses 9 through 12. Rejoice greatly, O daughter Zion. Shout aloud, O daughter Jerusalem. Lo, your king comes to you. Triumphant and victorious is he, humble and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. He will cut off the chariot from Ephraim and the war horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall he be cut off. And he shall command peace to the nations. His dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. As for you also, because of the blood of my covenant with you, I will set your prisoners free from the waterless pit. Return to your stronghold, O prisoners of hope. Today I declare that I will restore to you double. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. This morning, the psalm is Psalm 145, verses 8 through 15, and we will read it in unison. The Lord is gracious and full of compassion, slow to anger and of great kindness. The Lord is loving to everyone, and His compassion is over all His works. All your works praise you, O Lord, and your faithful servants bless you. They make known the glory of your kingdom and speak of your power, that the peoples may know of your power and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom. Your dominion endures throughout all ages. The Lord is faithful in all his words and merciful in all his deeds. The Lord upholds all those who fall. He lifts up those who are bowed down. The second lesson is a reading from Romans chapter 7, verses 15 through 25. I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Now, if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good. But in fact, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells within me, that is, in my flesh. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Now if I do what I do not want, it is no longer I that do it, but sin that dwells within me. So I find it to be a law that when I want to do what is good, evil lies close at hand. For I delight in the law of God in my inmost self, but I see in my members another law at war with the law in my mind, making me captive to the law of sin that dwells in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death? Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Jesus spoke to the crowd, saying, "To what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, 'Look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners.' Yet wisdom is vindicated by her deeds." At that time, Jesus said, "I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent, and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I'm going to be looking at the second lesson, St. Paul's letter to the Romans, and you may want to follow along with some of that. In this section from Romans, Paul is conflicted within himself. He's in turmoil. He's got an internal war going on within himself because he knows what is right. He knows what is good to do, but he can't do it. And he doesn't understand it. Look at this first line. "I do not understand my own actions." I think sometimes we can relate to that. I know I certainly can. Maybe in the middle of a discussion or a heavy discussion or argument, maybe even a hard argument, you say something you know you should not have said. You say something that you intended not to say, but you say it anyway. And immediately you know that you made a mistake. Immediately you know that you can see that hurt on that other person. And your intention is not to hurt the other person, but simply to pass on information. You can see that hurt in the other person. You've said those words and immediately you just want to grab them back. Pull them back. But you can't do that. It's already out there. It's not what you wanted to say. It's not what you wanted to do. It's not what you intended, but you said it, you did it, and you can't take it back. I do not understand my own actions. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. We do the opposite a lot of times. We know what is right. We know what is good. We know what is best for us. We know what is best for other people, but we just simply don't do it. How many times have you been hungry, and it's not quite mealtime, and you know that a good raw carrot would do your body some good, but you go for the ice cream instead? Or think about your spouse or a child comes up to you with a question or needing some help, and you know that your response should be one of compassion or understanding or use some patience, but instead you give them annoyance. Go away. Can't you see I'm busy? Or perhaps you have seen somebody or heard somebody say something that is untrue or something that is mean, or they are doing something that is not right or unjust or something that hurts somebody else, and you do nothing. We know what to do. We know what is right. We know what is good. But we do the exact opposite. Verse 16 here says, "Now if I do what I do not want, I agree that the law is good." This one's a little tougher, but I think what Paul's talking about here is gimmicks. Paul was trained as a Pharisee. The Pharisee's goal was to follow all the laws of the Old Testament. And in order to follow those laws of the Old Testament, over the centuries, the religious leaders and scholars had put together a lot of man-made laws to protect those laws of the Old Testament. And so if the Pharisee or if the person would follow all those man-made laws, then certainly they're not breaking God's laws, are they? A gimmick. And this is what got them in trouble a lot of times with Jesus. Because the Pharisees were proud that they were able to follow all these man-made laws. And they, in their self-righteousness, they were also happy to point out to anybody else who did not follow these laws. And so they were in conflict with Jesus because Jesus did not follow all the man-made laws. A lot of those laws that Jesus got in conflict with the Pharisees had to deal with the Sabbath. That they had all sorts of laws. The Sabbath was supposed to be for worship and for rest. They didn't have a problem with Jesus going to worship because there's a number of stories where Jesus is in worship. But it was with the rest part. One story, Jesus and his disciples are out gleaning the fields, picking up wheat or grain that had been left behind by the harvesters after the field had been harvested. They were hungry and nobody had provided them any food. And it was on the Sabbath. And they were criticized because that was work. Gleaning the fields was work. Or a number of stories then too, where Jesus healed people on the Sabbath. Healing was also considered work unless it was an absolute emergency at the time. The Pharisees used gimmicks to make themselves feel better, because they knew that they were not following God's laws. And they had all these man-made laws that they did follow. For us too, we try to use gimmicks to make ourselves feel better a lot of times. Or maybe with good intentions of trying to help us. Think about trying to lose weight. If anybody's ever tried to lose weight, all the different things that are out there to lose weight. You've got books. You've got videos, you've got pills, you've got diet plans, you've got food plans, you've got weights, you've got exercise machines, you've got all sorts of stuff, and maybe some of these things do work and they help you to lose weight. And I know just about everybody has some kind of device or exercise machine stuck away in their closet, their garage, someplace else in the house, and it has half an inch of dust sitting on top of it. I actually have a treadmill, and I do use it. It sits in my dining room, and I use it to store my dining room chairs on top of because it makes it easier to clean the floors. Also hear that they make pretty good clothes hangers, too. We use gimmicks. Think about we try and reason away why we don't do the things that we know that we should do. I can't do that project out in my backyard. It's too hot out there right now. I can't go visit Aunt Sophie in the nursing home. It's too depressing in there when I go. And right now it's on lockdown anyway, and to just wave through the window seems to be weird to me. I'm not going to apologize until he apologizes first. I can't go to church because I don't have the right clothes. I can't put more in the offering plate because I need that money for my own projects. We give reasons. We give excuses, gimmicks. We know the right thing to do. We know that the law is good, but we don't do it. We don't do those things. And that's what has Paul in such an uproar. That's why he's in such a state as he writes this lesson. He knows what is right. He knows what is good. He has faith. He has a strong faith in Jesus Christ, and he wants to do good. He wants to do good, but he just can't do it. In these next verses here, Paul explains why. He explains that it is because of original sin, that sin that we are born with, that sin that we have inherited all the way back to the fall in the Garden of Eden. It's that sin that we are born with. It's that sin that causes us to commit all these other sins. And it is with us, and it sticks with us until we are resurrected from the dead by Jesus Christ. Paul is so frustrated with all this. If we know that we have this sin within us and that we can't stop from sinning, do we just go galloping into sin saying, yee-haw, and forget about it all? Quit trying. No, because our faith still continues to call us back to Jesus Christ. The law is good. The law tells us how God wants us to live in relationship with him. It also tells us how we are to live in relationship with one another, so that we may live and that we may live well. That's what God wants for us. He wants us to live well. And the law helps us to do that. However, the law also condemns, because we know that we cannot follow this law. And that's what has Paul so much in an uproar. That's why he's in such a turmoil, is because he knows the law is good. He knows that's what God wants for us, but he can't do it. And at one point here, verse 24, he says, "Wretched man that I am, who will rescue me from this body of death?" Who will rescue me? If you turn for a moment to our gospel lesson, and you look at the end of that at verse 28, Jesus says, "Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." Who will rescue me? Jesus Christ has rescued us. We know what God wants for us. We know what God wants us to do. We know that will of God for humanity. But we can't do it. We are lost. We are helpless. But it is Christ who rescues us. He takes that burden of sin. He takes that burden of guilt, that burden of shame, that turmoil which is in us, and he places it on his own shoulders. He lifts it off of us. He lifts that weight away from us. And he puts it on himself. And he annihilates it. He goes to the cross and he dies for us. He destroys all that guilt, that shame, that sin, that blame. He annihilates it. And we are set free. We are set free without that worry, without that turmoil, without that threat, without that fear. We have that no more because of what Christ has done for us. The Holy Spirit calls us into this faith, calls us and leads us, helps us to do the right thing, to do the things that God wills us to do. And it is Jesus Christ who rescues us, who saves us, who brings us back from that spiral down into death. Paul realizes this. Paul has a strong faith. He is a leader in the faith. And he ends this section of Romans with a word of thanks. Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen. We sing the hymn for the day, number 567. Let us confess our faith by saying the word to the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us lift our hearts, hands, and voices in prayer to God on behalf of all people. Dear Father, thank you for Jesus, our friend and Savior. Thank you for soul's refreshment and heart's ease, for mind's nourishment and body's rest. Thank you for faith, family, and freedom, for liberty and justice, for the countless blessings we so often take for granted. Lord, in your mercy, give refreshment, rest, and respite to your suffering church throughout the world. Help us who are richly supplied with your good gifts to share generously with them, to pray for them, and to speak and act on their behalf before their tormentors. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for the people of this congregation. Help us to see one another with the eyes of Jesus. Some are carrying heavy burdens, known only to them and to you. Ease their load and give each of us such gentle hearts and words that we too refresh their spirits. Shape all our words and works so that many may find encouragement, forgiveness, hope, and renewed joy in loving and serving you. Lord, in your mercy. Thank you for this beautiful world over which you have set us as your stewards. Give us a double measure of your Holy Spirit so that we may be wise, responsible, and compassionate as we tend to the land and its creatures. Help us to enjoy the beauty of creation, finding in it refreshment for our souls and relaxation for our bodies. Lord, in your mercy. Bless, purify, and guide this nation. Grant to the people of this nation and every nation favorable weather, peaceful times, and a stop from the burdens of sickness, poverty, and violence. Teach us all to eagerly seek and share your mercy, guidance, and blessings. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for all in need, for all who are tired, feeling despair, sick, or oppressed. Take their yoke upon you and ease their burdens. Give your compassion and free us from all that keeps us bound. We pray especially for Thomas Smiley and for the family of Robert Melanson. Lord, in your mercy. We give thanks for those who have died in faith. Welcome them into your eternal rest and comfort us in our grief until we are joined with them in new life. Lord, in your mercy. Receive and graciously answer our prayer, Heavenly Father, for the sake of your dear Son, and by the power of your Holy Spirit, give us the strength and will to accomplish whatever you call us to do. Amen. We continue with the offering.
Thank you.
pray. Wise and gracious God, receive the labor of our hands, these gifts of money, bread, and wine, along with the offering of our lives. Nourish us with the life of your Son, that we may be his body in the world, making known your abundant mercy in Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. Fulfilling the promise of the resurrection, you pour out the fire of your Spirit, uniting it in one body, the people of every nation and tongue. And so with Mary Magdalene and Peter and all the witnesses of the resurrection, with earth and sea and all their creatures, with angels and archangels, cherubim and seraphim, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. In which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sins. Do this for the remembrance of me." Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Come, for all is ready. And keep you in his grace.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we thank you for feeding us with spiritual food, the body and blood of Christ. All who come to you will not hunger. All who believe in you will not thirst. Empowered by this sacrament, send us back into the world to do the work you have given us to do, to share the gospel and be faithful disciples of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you his peace. Our closing hymn, number 566. Go in peace, serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.